centre, and coming in is Loeb. Milovic centre net. McDonald scores! Matty McDonald!
And over at that Flame bench, there's all kinds of excitement going on there.
And he's stopped by Markstrom from point blank range.
Here comes, put it in the win column!
Yeah!
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Get hour two underway on this Monday, November 21st, coming at you from the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studio. Yeah, it's Steinberg along with you. We've got a busy hour coming up for you. Our regular chat with Mitch Love, the head coach of the AHL Calgary Wranglers, a little bit later on. But right now, time to say hello to Peter Labardius. It is time for our Flames Insider, brought to you by the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Your home renovations should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference. The Gemini Group now offering air miles, reward miles. Visit GeminiGroup.ca. By the way, Flames Talk available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. The text line open if you're listening live at 960-960. You can react to whatever we might talk about here. And this is the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Do you own a pharmacy? Find out how Calgary Lock and Safe can retrofit your locks to meet the new mandates. Visit CalgaryLockandSafe.com. And now for Gemini, it's Lou with us on a Monday. Hi, Lou.
Hi, Patty.
What were your thoughts on Saturday's win over Florida in a game that was, I think, thoroughly entertaining?
Yeah, it was highly entertaining. Back and forth. Lots of emotion going in. A little of it certainly on the ice, not what I would have thought was a ton, but, you know, some really good individual performances. And most importantly, for a team that, you know, played some pretty good games on the road, I think the resolve was very good, Pat, and they were resilient, and they needed a win. You know, at a certain point in time, you can have good periods, you can have good stretches, but they really, really needed not one, but two, and were able to stick with it and get it. It's interesting how hockey works sometimes in terms of how many chances they garnered or how many, more importantly, they gave up. Might have given up more, you know, in a game they lost than they had in the previous four, in a game they won, pardon me, than in the previous four road games that they lost.
Yeah.
But, you know, they were opportunistic and got the job done in the shootout and won a hockey game.
Well, and the word that you used that I know that that was really important to you on Saturday was resolve. And you know, when I think about that, I think about the way that they handled some momentum swings in that game. You know, all of a sudden the momentum swung early in the second period on the gaff behind the net, and Florida had it. And even though they came back to tie it, Calgary didn't let it get away on them. And then Florida scores early in the third to make it 3-3. And they score later on in the third to make it 4-4. And I never felt like, even though Florida pushed and had some stretches where they spent some time on the attack and looked a little bit more dangerous, you know, we have seen games, especially on the road, where those momentum swings have gotten the better of the Flames. And I didn't feel the same way on Saturday. I felt they dealt with the momentum and the way that it swung a whole lot better.
I did in the third, Pat. I thought especially, you know, it was really difficult to watch that 4-3 lead get away with Tkachuk doing his thing, getting to the inside of the defense and making a great redirect past Jacob Markstrom. Really liked it in the third. I thought it lasted a little longer than you would have liked in the second period. I thought it was more scrambly and that they were on their heels. But thanks to their goalie, they didn't really pay the price for it. But, you know, in the third, they didn't let it get away, and it could have easily been another one of those, oh boy, here we go again. This is all we've kind of been into, and we've handled it really well at times, but for sure, probably haven't handled it anywhere near as well as they would have liked to the majority of the time. So, you know, stuck with it, had a couple of good chances in overtime, didn't give up that much in overtime, I didn't think. Really, you know, really an even game that went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and, you know, was just, I think, for both teams to end up with at least a point in the game. And I didn't even disagree you know, with Greg Millen, who on the hockey broadcast on television said, you know, fans always want every tie broken. I kind of agreed with him in the sense that I would have been okay without a shootout after that overtime period.
Yeah. Done. It's funny because, and I feel that because it was a fun overtime. And there was, it was exciting and strategic at the same time. I really appreciated the way both teams went about overtime on Saturday. And you know, when you talk about, because you mentioned Markstrom in there and how, you know, he made some big stops when the momentum was swinging and they didn't end up getting bit by it. And, you know, very, very, when you talk about resolve, I thought that he showed a lot there too, not only because of the gaffe that made it 2-1 early in the second, but, you know, he lets in the first shot on a shootout as Lundell makes a ridiculous move to make it 1-0, and then he shuts the door. Markstrom doesn't allow a shot after that or allow one past him after that in the shootout. I thought Markstrom was a really good example of resolve on Saturday.
I think he was a great example, Pat. Maybe as good an example as there was, because, you know, you point to the behind the net play that turned what looked to be a, you know, pretty decently in control performance at 2-0, and that goes astray. And yeah, that was a tough move, and I'm not sure who stops that first one, but, you know, he came back and shut the door. And I was particularly fond of you know, the slap shot attempt that he made an excellent glove save on, and I think that actually made him feel a little invincible, to be honest. It might have been hard for anybody to score after the stop off of Tkachuk. But, you know, where Jacob is concerned, Pat, you look at the numbers, and they're not very good. But there have been games where he has made and shown resolve on nights where it has been far less than perfect. And you still have to win games. At the end of the day, that's what your goalie has to do. He has to win you games. And, you know, he shut the door again when he had two in the shootout that got you two instead of one on Saturday.
Lou's with us. Peter Labardius, the color voice of the Calgary Flames, joining us here to kick off hour two of Flames Talk. What are we watching right now with Adam Ruzicka, Lou? He has a career afternoon, first ever 2-goal and 3-point game in the NHL. What are we witnessing right now in front of our eyes with Ruzicka?
Well, this reminds me, the only stretch where I've watched Adam play like this was, I believe it was in the bubble. It had to have been in the bubble, Pat, because the team then, still based in Stockton, played in Calgary. And there was a stretch of 3 or 4 games. I think he ended up with 10 or 11 points. And it seemed in that stretch like he was going to, you know, score every second shift. He's a dominant player, you know, used his size, his speed, his shot. And, you know, that was kind of a stretch where I went, okay, you know, this guy's going to play in the NHL. And if it all comes together, he has a chance to be a good NHL player. And in fact, in regards to that, you know, with how this team prior to what happened this summer, I'd even hope going way back to then, could this guy be a second line type scoring center for this team, and really get himself in the top six? I didn't really see it happening the way it's happened, but I don't think he's ever really been shy on ability. It's one word, Pat, always with him: assertiveness.
Yeah.
I even asked Cale McLean today, which you can hear in its entirety coming up, about Adam, who he knows very, very well from, you know, two different levels. And he doesn't feel like it's ever been a lack of belief or confidence in his ability. I think it's assertiveness. When he is on it, and he's assertive, and he's taking himself and asserting himself into games, he's a good player. When he's kind of sitting back and waiting for things to happen and you're not noticing him, he can go away real fast.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the stretch that I've seen him in. And, you know, where he's concerned, I think this is a great story, Pat, but I'm not ready to say this is a full-time solution either. Now, I hope for the team's sake It is. But until you break patterns, I still believe in the old pattern as opposed to the new.
Right.
But it is a great, great thing. And I also, without taking anything away from him, I don't think it's hurt playing with Elias Lindholm, who right now for me is this team's best forward. And it's, you know, it's not that close.
Well, and I remember when, and you mentioned Cale MacLean, we spoke to him on one of the two games that they just had on the most recent homestand. He joined us on the Flames Talk postgame, and he kind of, you asked him the question. I opened the line of questioning up about, you know, why Ruzicka's been a fit on the wing, and you followed up with, and then to be able to play with a guy like Lindholm, and basically to paraphrase, Cale said, first of all, Lindholm's playing his tail off, and he's, you know, got his game back to a Selke Trophy level, but also, you know, you play with a guy like that if you're Adam, and I think it not only rubs off, but like there's some motivation. You want to be good for a guy like that because you're getting the opportunity to play with a player who can drive a line like that. I think that's a huge part of it.
Well, Pat, the best part about this is that Adam is playing like somebody who knows he's been given a bit of a gift.
Yeah.
And you have two choices when somebody, you know, puts you in a good situation. Either you take full advantage or you let it fall by the wayside. And frankly, there are still players on this team of a veteran nature that are not taking advantages of opportunities to play with really good people. But right now, he has done exactly that. And, you know, I talk about it every time with Elias. I just think he can be a better served player when he has extra responsibility to do more rather than less.
Mm-hmm. When there's a little bit more, when almost feels like you got to take a little bit more ownership of the line, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Where he knows that if he is not at his best, there might be trouble.
Yeah.
And I don't know, there's no graphs, there's no numbers to quantify that. There never will be. But I saw what happened early with the type of people he was playing with, and I thought he wasn't quite himself. I know what kind of role and responsibility he's had basically since he's been here, and how much he meant to the two guys that he played with last year. I see some similarities this time around.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned some other players, some veterans that need to maybe get going and take advantage of who they're playing with. Dubé and Mangiapane, like, now's the time for them to really start finding it, isn't it?
Well, you know, I saw some jump, I saw some spark, but at a certain point in time, Pat, you need results, because it is still a results-oriented business. And, you know, I wouldn't feel as strong about that if a couple of things weren't the case. One guy was a 35-goal scorer. That's fine. I don't want to go there too often, because I really didn't feel like that was going to be an easy one to match, even for Andrew at his absolute best this season. But Dylan, you know, really had a great second half and ended up with 18. Well, Dylan has won, and it came on opening night.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's one thing as a player, their work, and in Dylan's case, his pace, his tempo, his physicality, that creates room, and it creates room for his center, and it creates room for his line. Pat, it didn't hurt them in the game necessarily on Saturday afternoon. If it continues to be Kadri, Dubé, and Mangiapane, they have got to be regular participants in good performance, in the good performance department. They have got to start chipping in more.
Yeah.
And Kadri's been fine. But the other two guys, and I know when it's going to happen, and I think I saw some spark the other day, but just, again, there's been stretches where I know Andrew went 1 3-game stretch where he didn't have a shot on net.
Yep.
That is, Pat, that is a team-changing line opportunity for your team. So if you have some depth there, you need to pull ahead of the pack because you have it.
Yeah.
And tonight's one of those nights. The Flyers are banged up beyond belief. And so, you know, the Flames should really, if they're right and their mindset is right, have an opportunity to dictate a lot of what goes on in this game.
Yeah, and that's, maybe we'll wrap there, Lou, but boy, when you take a look at Philly's lineup now and compare it to who's not in their lineup, like you've got an NHL team and then you've got a team that, well, it's a little bit different. Like there are not very many household names in Philadelphia, and that's because there is a litany of them that aren't Konechny, Van Riemsdyk, Couturier, Atkinson, Lawton. Like, we're talking about 4 or 5 of their top 6 forwards aren't playing right now. Like, what team? They've lost 6 in a row, and I don't even blame them. How do you win when
can you? And they were 1.9 seconds away from winning in Montreal.
Yeah, that one stung.
Well, it did, and they had a couple chances to clear the puck out of the zone. But I've watched this team 2 or 3 different times this year in their entirety, including, you know, I watched the whole game back against Montreal. They play hard. And these are the kind of nights when you are the favorite against a John Tortorella team. You better bring your work boots because they will. They will. And if you don't, you might have a tougher night than you want to have.
Yeah. Was listening to Tort speak prior to this game. I was listening to Tort speak prior to this game. And just even hearing him talk about his team, he's like, basically the way he said it was like, how the hell do I evaluate what I have when we have this many injuries this early on? It's because, you know, we knew that Couturier wasn't going to play, but then you throw in all those other names and then add Konechny and Lawton recently to that mix. It's like, how, if you're a coach, how do you get a gauge on what you are when
you don't?
Exactly.
It becomes one thing in particular, Pat. So with them tonight, you know, you're going to see a young group that they'd like to really find a stick with Frost and Farabee and their line mate as kind of a young group that they might be able to grow. Outside of that, you're gluing everything you can together, and you're leaning on your 6, and you're leaning on your goalie.
Yep.
And hope that out of some of these opportunities for guys who wouldn't be getting them, maybe you find a player or two at a level that you didn't think you were getting.
Yep. All right, pal. See you in a little bit.
Yeah, sounds good.
Thank you, Lou. He's Peter Labardius. He's the color voice of the Calgary Flames. And he's brought to you each and every day here on Sportsnet 960 by the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Your home renovations should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference. The Gemini Group now offering air miles, reward miles. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
Flames Talk is on the air and streaming on the Sportsnet mobile app. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
Time to go inside hockey for Calgary Co-op with new product families, member rewards, and sale events. You'll find more quality, more savings in every department every day at Calgary Co-op. Hour 2 of Flames Talk rolls on. Pat Steinberg along with you on a Monday, and it's time for our weekly check-in and weekly chat with the head coach of the American League's Calgary Wranglers, number one affiliate of the Calgary Flames, and they are rolling. Wranglers are now 6-0-1 in their last 7, and that's thanks in large part to a great weekend. 5-1 and 5-2 wins on the road in Bakersfield on Friday and Saturday. We say hello to Mitch right now. Mitch, appreciate this as always, my man. How you doing?
Not bad, Pat. And yourself?
I'm doing well, and I would imagine pretty happy with what you saw from your group over the weekend. Tell us about the 2 games in Bakersfield.
Yeah, you know what? We had a good weekend of hockey down there. I mean, Friday night, you know, we played a real solid 60 minutes of, you know, our brand of hockey, and you know, I think at times this year, even though we've been a little more consistent of late in terms of finding points in the standings, you know, we were always maybe missing pockets of the game, maybe 10 minutes here or a period here where we weren't playing 60 minutes. And we played probably one of our more complete games of the year on Friday. And then, you know, Saturday was, we knew we were going to get a bit of a response from Bakersfield. They were a good hockey club. And a penalty-filled affair. Half the game was spent on special teams. And so it was an interesting evening in terms of both teams trying to get in a bit of a flow of things. And, you know, but we found a way to stay with it and get a timely goal in the power play late in the third and then, you know, close it out with a couple empty netters.
It feel like when you take a look at the run your group's been on of late, and I know that the results weren't coming early on, but does it – and I know that results don't always – reflect the way the group is playing, but does it feel like the overall team game has really started to take shape here of late?
Well, I think it's just been more of an understanding of the type of game we have to play to get points and be competitive in our division. Our division's really tight. It's, you know, you and I have spoke before in terms of, you know, you lose a couple, you can end up near the bottom, or you win a couple, you're near the top. So, you know, in terms of, you know, taking nights off, you just can't afford them in our division right now. And, you know, I think our team's just starting to understand and guys are starting to understand what roles they're in. I mean, here we are heading into game 15 tomorrow night. And if you haven't quite figured out where you fit and what you need to provide our hockey team on a day-to-day basis, then I'm not doing a very good job as a hockey coach. So I think our guys are, you know, starting to figure that out and playing a certain brand of hockey that gives us a chance to be competitive each and every night. And, you know, the guys are gaining a little confidence from that.
Is because the offensive game, the goals and the points have started to come, pucks have started to go in. Is that just a byproduct of what you're just talking about?
Yeah, I think so. I think if there was one thing that it could be real nitpicky of our group is we've got to be a better 5-on-5 team in terms of scoring. I mean, we felt our team game 5-on-5 has gotten better defensively and being a better checking team in all three zones. And, you know, but we're just not really manufacturing a lot of 5-on-5 offense, which is something that we've got to, you know, improve in our game. I mean, you can only win so many games using your power play each and every night before, you know, those opportunities dry up or you go through a dry spell there. And, you know, our special teams have been real key for us so far. To this point, especially in this stretch of, you know, last seven games. But we've got to get our 5-on-5 offense going here and get a little bit more, you know, greasy in the paint area in terms of putting pucks in the back of the net and trying to win games that way.
You went with Dustin Wolf for both games over the weekend. He is very quietly just continued the stellar level of play he was at last year, which is not always easy to do. Like sometimes goalies have those swings season to season, but very quietly, it's just the same caliber of hockey from Dustin, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he's been outstanding for us here of late. I mean, you know, he was really sharp Saturday night. I mean, we had a few breakdowns and, you know, he had to make some grade A saves for us but he's been doing this here for now about 3 weeks. And, you know, it's kind of, you know, familiar to what we saw last year from him in terms of just giving us an opportunity to win and timely saves and timely whistles and his using his hockey sense and his ability. And, you know, it's definitely been a factor for us here in terms of getting points in the standings. And, you know, a little bit of a slow start for him. I think he recognized that, but he's a competitor and he's a student of the game and puts a lot of time into his craft. And I'm not surprised that he's been able to kind of turn around after the first, you know, three or four games.
We're in conversation with Mitch Love. He's the head coach of the Calgary Wranglers. Joins us every week here on Flames Talk on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. I want to ask you about two other players specifically, and not just because of the weekends they've had, but just overall and what they've meant. But a couple of guys do have, you know, really good offensive weekends, and one of them was Nick DeSimone. You get him back on your team's blue line for these two games in Bakersfield, 4 points in two games. But aside from the offense, just he wears a letter on your team. He's been with the group for now into his second season. So how good was it to have Nick back with the group this weekend?
Well, it was huge for us. I mean, you know, he played two excellent hockey games. I think he played 26 or 27 minutes on Friday night, and then the same thing on Saturday night. I mean, he's a minute muncher for us. He's key on our power play, which was, you know, a big part of our success this weekend. And our penalty kill, we had, you know, 10 penalty kills in game two, and he was huge there. And then just like you mentioned, his leadership, especially for our young D, that, you know, he was gone for a couple weeks, and, you know, he slides back in there. He helps those young men out. And, you know, I think you could see a rejuvenated confidence to his game. I think obviously when you go to the National Hockey League and you get in some action there, you bring that with you. But I've also seen it work in a negative light too, where, you know, a guy struggles or he thinks things are going to be easy in the American Hockey League, and they're really not. And, but he was professional about his approach, and he was real, real solid for us over the weekend.
And he's been, you talk about him being a minute muncher. He's been huge for your group, even going back to last season in Stockton. Can you just, since he joined the group, can you just talk about how important Nick has been to the overall team dynamic of your team?
Yeah, I mean, for what he's provided our organization here over the last year and a little bit. I mean, I was unfamiliar with him, obviously, and, you know, we quickly put him in a pairing last year with Kevin Gravel, who were, you know, what we would consider our top pair D and our shutdown D, playing against other teams' top lines each and every night. And, you know, I've seen a huge improvement in Nick's game over the last year and a little bit. Obviously, that's turned into a recall here a couple weeks ago, and you know, getting his first NHL action, which is, you know, we were so happy and proud for him to see that. And, you know, I know when we went through the offseason, there's lots of turnover in this league, and, you know, different guys go to different organizations looking for opportunity. And, you know, he was definitely a guy that, you know, in our offseason conversations to try to get him locked in and bring him back to Calgary here with us, to, you know, have him help our American League team, him push for opportunities at the next level and help our young players is really important. And I'm really glad the organization was able to bring him in and lock him into 2 years. And he's honestly a true pro. Each and every day he comes to the rink, he puts a lot into himself, which ultimately helps our hockey team.
And the other individual I wanted to ask you about was Jacob Pelche. And we haven't spoke about him so far yet this season. Had such a great rookie campaign in the American League. Had a big weekend for the team, 4 points in two games in Bakersfield. But overall, how would you evaluate the first few weeks of Jacob's season?
Well, I think he, you know, again, kind of like Dustin, a little bit of a slower start. You know, I think that's natural when you're going into your second year pro and you have a good first season, you know, as a pro hockey player. I think you think at times it's going to be easy, and it's not. This is a good hockey league with good players in it, and there's people fighting for jobs each and every night. And if you're not bringing it, and your mindset's not the right place to, you know, go out there and get back to work each and every day, you struggle. And I think he struggled out of the gates. I think he's started to get comfortable, found his game, found some confidence within his game. And I think that's what you're seeing now here, where he's, you know, I think he believes he's a point-of-game guy for us, and he's starting to provide some offense, which is part of his job description here. And you know, he's really kind of getting back to the Jacob Pelche we watched last year for a good chunk of the year. So it's good. You need those guys to provide that offense for us, and bring it each and every day. It helps with our team success.
You think, Mitch, there's a lot of talk going into this year's training camp about how, you know, Jacob might be a guy who could find his way onto the NHL roster to start, and we could be talking about a guy who makes the Flames out of camp. It doesn't happen. He starts the year, his second pro season in the American League. Is it? Do you think that and not to use it as an excuse, but do you think that may have played into why it didn't start exactly the way that maybe he wanted it to this year?
I think so. I mean, I'm a straight shooter when it comes to, you know, questions like this, but I think he 100%. I mean, I think he, you know, read his own press clippings and, you know, I think some of our other younger players did too, in terms of coming out of training camp and going through it leading into that. And, I mean, it's hard. It's not easy to, you know, jump right into the NHL after 1 year of American Hockey League action, and I think that affected him a little bit, and I think he would admit that himself. We've had those conversations, and I think he's now just kind of settled back in terms of, well, you know, I need to be good today, whether it's a good practice or a good meeting with a coach, a good workout, a good game. I think that's where a lot of the young players get themselves, they put the cart ahead of the horse at times. And it really can affect them in terms of their performance. And I think he settled in and really kind of accepted this is where I'm at. I got to be good here. And whatever decisions are made above, that's for mm-hmm. other people to make. And he's just going to focus in on his own game and our team game here.
So, Mitch, do you, how do you, knowing it's a young player and you as a coach, you got to deal with different personalities and all that type of stuff. How do you approach that conversation with him? Because you talk about it. You said it right there. You're a straight shooter and stuff like that. So how do you approach that conversation with a guy like Jacob?
Well, I'm a pretty direct communicator with our guys. I mean, I'm not oblivious to what's out there or what's being said or what I try to spend a lot of time as a coach, and our staff does a really good job of this, I find, in terms of trying to read the player and try to have a better understanding of where they're at mentally, so we can help them through this process.
Mm-hmm.
And we spend a lot of times individually with these guys, whether it's watching video or talking life or talking about a situation like this, Pat. And, you know, I think coming out of training camp, you meet with each player, you ask them how their camp went, you ask them where they think they need to improve to make the next jump. And then you kind of just circle back constantly, just making sure the guys understand that this is where you're at, and this is where you got to get better and focus in on that. Don't focus in on what's down the road. And I think that's been our approach here as a staff over the last little bit with our players, and our players understand that. And I think, they appreciate honesty. And I think that's a big thing. I think there's the right way to communicate that honesty with the player. And that's what we tend to do here with our guys. And yeah. I think our guys appreciate that.
That's very cool. Appreciate the insight on that, Mitch. Mitch Love is the head coach of the AHL Calgary Wranglers, joining us here on Hour 2 of Flames Talk. Just a last one for you, my friend, and that's the week ahead. You've got a busy one. You play Tuesday and Thursday at home to Coachella Valley, Friday and Sunday at home to Abbotsford. You've got one of the busier schedule weeks of the year for your group. Set us up for a busy four-game homestand.
Yeah, it's been a busy month. I mean, I believe when it's all said and done, we'll have 13 games in, and a little bit of travel here and there, and that's kind of where we're at in terms of being up here in Calgary and our division being a lot of it south of the border. So we're excited. I mean, it's Coachella Valley's beaten us 3 out of 4 times, so we're quite familiar with them. So that's in the back of our minds that we've got to play some better hockey against a very good team. And I've lost a couple in a row here in overtime this past weekend to Colorado. And so they'll be here. They got, Shane Wright, a young player that's, fourth overall there to Seattle this past year, is down in conditioning. So, we've got our hands full there, but we're on home ice and we're excited to compete against them. And then Abbotsford, obviously, big rivalry for them going back to last year. Haven't seen them yet. Again, our division's so tight. It's seems like any team could beat any team any given night here with the parity in our division. So, it's a busy week. We're excited about it. We're excited to be back at home here in front of our fans. And, we'll see where things end up when she's all said and done after Sunday afternoon.
Well, good luck this week, Mitch. I'm excited to be able to get a couple games in and watch them in person as well. Looking forward to it. Good luck this week. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you so much, as always, for the time.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Pat. Sounds good, man.
He is Mitch Love. He's the head coach of the AHL Calgary Wranglers, joining us here on Hour 2 of Flames Talk. Yeah, so you've got 4 opportunities to watch the Wranglers play live. You've got Jacob Pelche, who has some really, really good insight from Mitch Love on Pelche and his start to the season and now what's happening for him. You've got Matthew Phillips, one of the top scorers in the American Hockey League. You've got Connor Zeri, who had himself another really good weekend. Jeremy Poirier continues to play really well down there. And then on the other side, for the first 2 games of this homestand, you've got Shane Wright playing with Coachella Valley as he is down on a conditioning stint. So he'll play a couple of games against the Wranglers this week. So here's the schedule for the Wranglers. They go Coachella Valley on Tuesday and Thursday at the Dome, both 7 o'clock faceoffs, and then a couple of matinee games Friday and Sunday are 1 o'clock at the Dome against Abbotsford, and Friday's another hockey hooky game. You've got the opportunity to get the ticket, the burger, and the beer, all that type of stuff for Friday's game against Abbotsford. Big four-game homestand coming up for the red-hot Calgary Wranglers. Go see the future of the Calgary Flames in person. Really affordable tickets and a great, great product. Really good game presentation. All that is this week, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday, opportunities for you to watch the Wranglers this week at the Dome. That's our look inside hockey for Calgary Co-op. The beer tastes better when it's bought from the place that cheers for your team. Visit your local Calgary Co-op Wine Spirits Beer today. It's Steinberg along with you as we start to wrap things up on hour two of Flames Talk. I want to say thank you to Mitch Love. Thank you to Peter Labardius. And of course, thank you to our outstanding producers, Cam Hughes and Taylor Dingman, as we put it all together for you on a Monday. This hour has been the Sports Drive brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Do you own a pharmacy? Find out how Calgary Lock and Safe can retrofit your locks to meet the new mandates. Visit CalgaryLockandSafe.com.